we want to look at this morning. But the most important aspect of forgiveness is what God has given us. Now you say, Brother Brian, I don't need forgiveness. I've not done anything wrong. Well, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, our sin causes us to be separated from God. It causes us to completely be out of His presence. Our sin has done that. But here's the good news. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you been forgiven this morning? Has Jesus Christ cleansed you from all your unrighteousness through His precious blood? We'll look at 1 John chapter number 1 and follow along with me as we read this. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says this: That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Now John saw Jesus personally. He was one of the 12 original disciples, and he saw Jesus personally. He ate with Him. He slept in the same room with Him. He saw all the different things that were taking place. Verse number 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Verse number 3. That which we have seen and had heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So John is simply saying, listen, I saw it, I heard it, I experienced it. You may not have done it personally, but I have, and I'm telling you what I saw. I'm telling you what I heard. I have it on exquisite authority. Of the things that I'm telling you right now, John is saying, I experienced, and I'm telling them to you so that you can experience them. Verse number 4. And these things write we unto you. Why? That your joy may be full. Brothers and sisters, the only way your joy can be full is got nothing to do with singing Christmas carols. It's got nothing to do with presents under the tree. It's got nothing to do with circumstances and things. Joy comes, or fullness of joy comes, forgiveness of Jesus Christ on your life. That's where joy is full. Verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard from Him, and we declare unto you. Here's the message that John says here. This is what God wants me to tell you. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, with God, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we belong to God, we say that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We say that we are God's children, but we walk a dark life. We walk a life that's full of sin. We walk a life that's full of nastiness. We walk a life that does no pleasing God whatsoever. If you say you love God, but you live that way, God says you are a liar. Brother Brian, that's not fair. You're judgmental. I'm not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says here. And I'm telling this to warn you, to maybe wake you up and say, wait a minute, maybe the life I've been living should not ought to be. That's a good English term right there, amen? All right, verse number 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Underline that word, cleanses from all sin. The blood of Christ doesn't just wash us, it cleanses us. It takes away all sin. It doesn't just cover the sin, it takes it away. Verse number 8. But if we say that we have no sin, if we say we've not done anything wrong, if we say that there's no unrighteousness in us, if we say we've been perfect, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And I'm not going to ask you this morning how many of you have sinned, because I'm afraid some of you wouldn't raise your hand and thereby be sinning. All right? We've all sinned. We've all done wrong. But if you sit there and you say, oh, I've never done anything wrong, my life is perfect, then you are a liar. You're not only lying to yourself, you're lying to everybody around you, and you're lying to God. Brothers and sisters, we're in a fix. We're in a bad situation. We have sinned. And something's got to be done with that sin. Has to be. Verse number nine. But if we confess our sins, that means tell on ourselves. If we tell on ourselves and agree with God, He, speaking of God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, listen, if you confess it to God, go ahead and admit it. God, I have sinned. And if you, and I'd advise you to do this. I'd advise you to go ahead and tell Him all about it, because He already knows already. Don't try to hide it from Him. He knows everything. He sees everything. Don't try to play games with God. Just go ahead and confess it. Get it right with Him. If you'll do that, the Bible says that He will cleanse you. How many of you have been washing your hands on an hourly basis like crazy? You're getting so dry from all the soaps and everything else. Why do you do that? Because you want to cleanse your skin. You don't want to spread germs. Well, hallelujah, brothers and sisters. The blood of Christ will cleanse you from your sin forever. But you've got to confess it. It's kind of like walking by that sink. I know if I wash my hands in that sink, I'll be okay. But you know what? I don't need it. No. We need to wash our hands. But more importantly, we need to wash our souls through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if we confess, the word if means you've got to do it. He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But verse number 10. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him, God, a liar, and His word is not in us. So if you say, oh, I don't need to be forgiven, there's no need for me to do what all those things, because guess what? I've got it all figured out. I'm not a sinner. Then you're making God a liar, and it's obvious that His word's not in you. So brothers and sisters, you claim that God lives in you? Then go ahead and admit that you've sinned and confess and get it right with Him. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation. He's the replacement. He's the one that took our place. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Brothers and sisters, we need God's forgiveness. We need God to say, I forgive your sins. We need that. Because if we don't stand a chance. If we don't ask God to forgive us, and we try to take on our own righteousness, and we try to stand before God in our good works, and we stand before God and say, God, let me in because I've been good. God will say, no, you're condemned. We need forgiveness. Let me ask you a question this morning. I want to answer it to yourself. Have you ever sinned and really messed up? Whew. I have. Big time. Big time. Well, preacher, you should not be preaching. Well, you know what? That's true. If I was doing it in my flesh and I was doing it for my own glory, I ought not to be preaching. But because of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, He's given me the capability to stand before you and share His word to you. I don't deserve it. I'm thankful that I get to do it. Because I've been forgiven. And here's the wonderful thing. Once you're cleansed forever. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. God towards us. Give me the first slide, brother. All right, number one, God towards us. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 this morning. The first facet is God's forgiveness towards us. Why don't you go ahead and admit it this morning to yourself and admitted to God that you need to be forgiven. You need to be forgiven. Maybe you've already been saved and you're not living in that forgiveness. Why don't you go and admit it this morning and say, God, please forgive me. I done messed up. I've had a horrible week, a horrible month, horrible year. I've said some things, done some things, thought some things, participated in some things that are wicked against you. God, please forgive me. Look what it says in verse number 3 of chapter 1 of Hebrews. It says this, who, speaking of Jesus, his son, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. You know what the word purged means? Completely emptied our sins. Our sin debt has been taken care of. Our sin debt no longer exists. Our debt that we had to God has been completely paid for. I don't know about you, but I'm in debt financially. We're all financially in debt. Most of you are. You have a house, you have a car, you have a credit card, you have all kinds of different things. And it'd be a wonderful thing if you got a phone call and say, Mr. Schuler, this is United Community Bank. We notice that you have a home loan with us. Guess what? You are completely paid off. We're going to take care of that debt for you. How many of you believe that I would just sit there and go, oh, ho-hum? You'd hear shouting all over Bryson City, yahoo! I'm forgiven. My debt is gone. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, I had a bigger debt than that. My debt of sin. My sin was going to send me to hell. And I couldn't pay for it myself. No phone call could take care of that debt. But when I read the word, and I saw that I needed to be forgiven, and I said, God, please forgive me of all my sins. I need Jesus to be my Savior. He reached down and spoke to me and said, my son, your debt is forgiven. Hallelujah. Can I get somebody to get happy this morning? God's forgiveness towards us. Because honestly, think about it for a minute. Think about how wretched we really are. Did you know that God wants to forgive you of everything? How do you believe God wants to forgive the Taliban? Wow. How many of you believe that God wants to forgive molesters? He does. How many of you believe that God wants to forgive adulterers? How about murderers? How about liars? How about thieves? God wants to forgive them. You say, well, Brother Brian, I'm not that bad. Well, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. God wants to forgive you. Turn with me, if you would, now to John chapter 8. One of the best passages of forgiveness illustrated. An actual event that took place. I love this passage. John chapter 8, illustrating God's forgiveness. And after reading this true account, if it doesn't touch your heart about the need for forgiveness and God's forgiveness towards us, nothing will. John chapter 8, verse number 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. I can just see it. He's there in the temple in the morning, and he's teaching them about the things of God, and they're listening with attention, and they're paying close attention, and they're like, wow, we love this teaching. And the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman who was taken in adultery when they had set her in the midst. Now, that's a good way of saying they took her and flung her in the midst of Jesus. They didn't just come and sit her down. They took her and physically threw her into the presence of God. She had been taken in adultery. How many of you know what adultery is? Kids, if you don't know what it is, ask your parents to explain it to you later. And you're saying, thanks, Brother Brian, I appreciate that. How many of you agree adultery is not good? This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The very act of it. Verse number 4. Then they said unto him, Master, teacher, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. We caught her red-handed. My question, where's the guy? But that's a whole nother sermon. Verse number 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? So in the book of Leviticus, Jesus knew it because he wrote it. The scribes and Pharisees knew it, and all the people that were sitting there knew it, how to deal with adulterers. Leviticus chapter 10 says that you're supposed to take them physically outside of the city and take stones and throw the stones on them until the person was dead. Spoke very plainly about that. You deal with adulterers by killing them with stones. So now they've got Jesus in a fix, they think. Okay. Verse number 6, it says this. This they said, tempting him, trying to test him, that they might have something to accuse him with. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. He ignored them. I hate being ignored. And I'm sure as he stooped down and began to draw in the sand, they were waiting for him to have an outburst. They were waiting for him to make a judgment. And he was ignoring them. And that made them madder. I can just see their faces turning red. Verse number 7. So when they continued asking him, I could just see it. Well, Jesus, what are you going to do? Well, Jesus, what are you going to do? Well, and they continued to ask him, to badger him. When they continued to ask him, he lifted up himself, he stood up, and he looked at them in the face, and this is what he said. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He said, listen, any of you scallywags, any of you that don't have sin, you're welcome to pick up the first stone and throw it at her. Isn't it amazing how Jesus deals with situations like that? He's not condemning her. He's not condemning him. He's just simply saying, okay, if you don't have any sin, then you have every right to judge. And again, when he stooped down, and he wrote on the ground. Verse number 9, and they which heard it, those who were paying attention to what he's saying, they were being convicted by their own conscience. They went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. It's interesting. They were convinced by their conscience, not by the Holy Spirit. See, they knew that it was wrong. It's amazing. Even people who don't know Christ as their Savior, they know what's really right and what's really wrong. As a Christian, when we do things we ought not to do, we know what's really wrong. You know it. Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit reminds you? No, not no. It's amazing. There's something inside of us that we know what is right and what is wrong. But the problem is, we don't want to hear it. We want to keep doing what we're doing and seeing what we are seeing and listening to what we're listening to and involving ourselves in what we're involving to, even though we know it's wrong, we still do it. But these guys, they knew instantly what it was. Look at verse number 10. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? See, there it is. That's the key word, condemn. If you've not been forgiven by Jesus Christ, you are condemned. And what does that word condemned mean? That means you're on your way to a place called hell. That condemnation means that you're headed toward a place that Jesus does not exist in a place that has not been created for you, a place that's been created as a place of punishment. You are condemned already, it says. And so he looks at her and says, listen, where's these people that were condemning you? They weren't trying to forgive her, they were condemning her. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus looked at her and said, "Will I condemn you? Get out of my face." Is that what your Bible says? He says this, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He says, "I forgive you." Was she caught in adultery? Yes. Was she committing it? Yes. Is she trying to excuse it? No. Jesus has every right to condemn her. But what does he say? "I forgive you." Now, before you start pointing your finger at other people and start saying, "Well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that," listen, you're in the same boat as they are. We all need to be forgiven. Does this woman deserve forgiveness? Absolutely not. Do you deserve forgiveness? Uh-uh. So why? Why does God forgive us? Whew. It's just us. Let me share it with you. He loves you. We as parents, grandparents, we have children. And sometimes they do some knot-headed things. And they do things that we're like, "Where'd that come from? Are you dense? Do they deserve forgiveness?" Why do we forgive them? Because we love them. Why did your parents forgive you when you'd done knot-headed things? Because they loved you. Brothers and sisters, God is offering forgiveness because he loves you. The woman deserved to be killed. But Jesus said, "I love you. Now, go and live like you're forgiven." And there's the key, brothers and sisters. Go and live like you are forgiven. It's not enough to be forgiven. You must live like you're forgiven. I remembered. I told you stories and stories and stories about my life. But I'll never forget, ever, being forgiven for something I did and the freedom that came with that. Whew. Knowing I was under the hammer, but I was forgiven. So we see the first facet of God's gift of forgiveness, his forgiveness towards us. Let me show you quickly the second one. Our forgiveness towards others. Now you didn't think I was going to avoid this, did you? Matthew 6:12, Jesus' blueprint for prayer. And by the way, this is not the Lord's Prayer. I know it's been advertised and people said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." No, that's a blueprint for prayer. Okay? The Lord's Prayer is found in the book of John when he was praying to God. But he says in Matthew 6:12, he says this, "Forgive us as we forgive others." Brothers and sisters, if you've been forgiven, don't you think you ought to be forgiving towards others? The classic parable in Matthew chapter 18. Write that down. I want you to read it, but I'll give it to you briefly, the cliff notes. A slave was called to the carpet by his master, and his master said, "Okay, give me everything you owe because you owe me a lot of money." The slave hit his knees and said, "Oh, please, master, forgive me because I don't have the money to give. I can't go to prison. Please forgive me." And the master looked at the slave and said, "Okay, I forgive you of all your debts. You're completely clear." The slave got up, walked out, whistling a tune. "Hallelujah, woohoo, I'm forgiven." And he's walking down the street and all of a sudden he sees a fellow slave. And he gets that fellow slave by the throat and says, "Listen, buddy, you owe me $5. Where's my money?" And that fellow slave looked at him and said, "Man, I don't have it. Give me till next week. I'll get it back to you." And that guy that was forgiven says, "No way, Jose." That's my interpretation. "No way, Jose. I'm going to throw you in jail." So he takes him and throws him in prison. "Until you give me my $5, you're going to stay there in prison." Now, what sense does that make? That doesn't make any. So the master, who hears about this, calls the original slave to him and says, listen, I hear what you did. I forgave you, but you refused to forgive somebody else. Guess what, buddy? You owe me everything now. My forgiveness is pulled. You're in a lot of trouble. Brothers and sisters, you have been given, forgiven for so much. The wretchedness of your life, the evil, wicked deeds, and the things that you've said, and the things that you've heard, and the things you've participated in, God has wiped them clean by the blood of Christ. So why in the world are you holding things against other people? The slight, the look, the word, the deed. And you go to bed with that bitterness and you wake up with that bitterness. And when you see that person, you don't talk to them. Even if it's a family member, you have nothing to do with them because you can't forgive them. You've been forgiven. Forgive them. If you don't, you're just like that ungrateful slave. Well, Brother Brian, you don't know what they've done. I don't know. Forgiveness does not mean that you get over it and say, oh, I'll continue doing that. Forgiveness means you let it go. That's what it means. You let it go. Let God deal with it. He deals with it a whole lot better than you can. Ryan, can you get to the next subject? Because this is really bothering me. Brothers and sisters, if you've been forgiven, you need to forgive others. Not for their sake, for yours. How many of you struggle with this aspect? If I could do all four at one time, I would. I'd make a lot of money on YouTube. Ask God to help you with this. So we see God's forgiveness towards us. We see forgiveness towards others. Look at the third facet real quick. Us towards ourselves. Us towards ourselves. Go to 2 Corinthians. Forgiving ourselves. This is the hardest one for me. Because I have to live with myself. My wife and children have to live with me. But I have to live with myself every day. And I beat myself up all the time. I know none of you do, but that's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Look what it says. Therefore, if any man, that's not talking about just men, talking about forgiven sinners. If any man be in Christ, that means forgiven, means one of his children. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What are those old things that have passed away? All the things that you've done that you've been forgiven for? Whew. You mean, yeah, I mean that one. You mean when I, yeah, that one. Your old nature is gone. It's eradicated. Joe, you're an exterminator, Joe. When you go to people's houses, do they say, I just want you just to get rid of some of the bugs? They say they want all of them out of there, don't they? And if they don't, what do? They're on the phone call again saying, hey, you missed some. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ has forgiven you through his blood, he forgave everything. Because of honesty, we don't forgive ourselves because we don't think we deserve to be forgiven. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will remind us of things that we have not gotten forgiveness for from somebody else, not with God. Because God has forgiven already. It means that we need to make things right with somebody else for what we've done or haven't done, what we said or didn't do. Guilt. And the best way to deal with that is hit your knees. Oh God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And he says, I forgave you already. Okay, God. And then he says, but I want you to go now and... Well, I don't want that one, God. I mean, can't we just leave it here? You want to live a life that's forgiven of yourself? Do what he tells you to do. Making a phone call, writing a letter. I wouldn't advise doing email or texting because it's so easy to misrepresent what is said through media. The best way to do it is face to face. Oh, come on, you tech savvy folks. We've all been misunderstood by our texts. Ourselves. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, real quick. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more shall it purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What's it going to take to convince yourself that you've been forgiven? What's it going to take for God to finally break through and say, forgive yourself because I've forgiven you? There's been times that I've woke myself up in the middle of the night remembering what I used to be and hanging my head and saying, oh God, I'm sorry. And forgiving myself is the hardest thing to do. So when I'm reminded, I tell him, thank you for forgiving me, and then I make sure that I've done what he's told me to do. And until you do that, until you release somebody else or you release yourself, you'll continue to fight unforgiveness. So let me ask you a question. Time for you to confess up this morning. How many of you are thankful for God's forgiveness towards you? How many of you have a hard time forgiving others? Come on now. How many of you struggle with forgiving yourself? It's time. God's gift of forgiveness. Final verse. Colossians chapter 3. God's desire for us. Colossians chapter number 3. Brother Brian, it's so easy what you're telling us. Shouldn't there ought to be payment? Yes, there is payment. Jesus Christ's blood. Well, doesn't somebody deserve to be punished? Yes, we deserve to be punished. But God has saved us through his blood of Jesus Christ. Here's what God's desire is for us. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Paul writes these words to Colossians. He says this, put on therefore, wear it, live it, make it part of your life, make it the whole essence of your life, as elect of God, holy and beloved. That's who you are. You're holy and beloved. He wants you to put on bowels of mercies. He wants you to be merciful to everybody and to yourself. He wants you to put kindness. Let that be as your lifestyle. Humbleness of mind. He wants you to be meek. He wants you to be long-suffering. He wants you to forbear one another. In other words, deal with one another in love. And forgive one another. That means yourself. Forgive yourself. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, hold it against everybody else. Is that what it says? If you've been forgiven, Christ expects you to forgive also. That includes you. It's amazing, these Hallmark movies. How many of you are addicted to Hallmark movies? Oh, come on, guys. Some of you are saying, I don't want to admit it, but yeah. The same plot over and over and over again. A woman finds dissatisfaction in her work. She goes to a small little town, falls in love with her old boyfriend. It begins to snow and they kiss and everybody lives happily ever after. An hour and a half into the movie, they have some kind of a disagreement. He threatens to leave. She threatens to leave. A job is offered. And then right at the very end, everything is hunky-dory. Am I lying? Okay. Everything works out well. They forgive one another. music begins to play and everything is, oh, until the next one starts and starts all over again. But here's the wonderful thing. You can lose yourself in that. And you can say, wow, that is so neat. I wish life was like that. Well, you know what? Real life isn't like that. But living as a Christian is exactly like that in your relationship with God. He's forgiven you. I'm not saying he's going to kiss you under the mistletoe. That's not what I'm saying. But he says to you, my child, if you've received me as your Savior, if you've confessed your sins, and if you've asked me to become your God and your Savior, I have forgiven you. Now walk like it. Young people, stop dabbling in the garbage of the world. Stop it. Stop experiencing things in life that you're going to have to go back and get right. Stop it before it's too late. Because it could happen suddenly. Old people. Same thing. Now, middle-aged people like me, no, just teasing. Brothers and sisters, live a forgiven life. God's forgiveness, forgiving others, forgiving yourself. That's God's gift to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. And God, I know that in this era of COVID, it's so hard for us to have an invitation of coming forward. But Lord, right now, I want these precious folks, including myself and those who may be listening via the Facebook or whatever means and media they're doing, I'm asking you, God, right now that you would speak to our hearts. That, Lord, if there's an area in our life that we're struggling, forgiveness from you, forgiveness for somebody else, forgiveness for ourselves, that, Lord, right now we would take the time to allow you to speak to us and that we would obey and do what you clearly tell us to do. It may mean a conversation. It may mean having to get rid of something. It may mean having to stop doing something. It may mean us to ask somebody to forgive us. But God, you have forgiven us. Help us to forgive others. And help us to forgive ourselves. What a precious Christmas gift you've given to us. Not just in December, but every day of our lives. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. For it's in his precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Miss Doris, if you'll come and play real quick something for me. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask Miss Doris just to play something. And I'm just going to ask you right now to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to talk to God. I'm just going to ask you to talk to him. This is not time to get on your phone and check out your fantasy football team. This is not a time to be playing games and texting somebody. Take the time right now and just talk to God. Talk to him. Ask him to talk to you.